Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. Today on the show, we've got a secret agent man. Bill Thompson.
Are you a secret agent man?
No, I think he's talking about you.
No, Bill, I'm not. Put that mic about an inch from your face real quick for me. There you go. We're going to get into this today. We're going to get dark today. I asked Dan what you did last week, and he was real goddamn shady about it. He just said he does a bunch of tech stuff for the government.
No, not for the government anymore.
Used to, but not anymore.
Used to. And then now you're doing some secret shit. I walked in. You were already on a computer, already on our Wi-Fi in the back. I don't know what the fuck is going on here. Is my bank account going to be empty by the end of the show?
No.
Okay.
No, but you're safe.
All right. You're the CEO of Spartan Forge.
I am.
Also, it says here the chief DEI officer of the company as well. How many black people work for you?
Zero. Wait.
Get him out of here!
We've got some like pro staffers we work with who are black, but
okay.
What is a black person?
Do better.
But what is a black person?
Do better.
Yeah, okay. Somebody should have asked Ketanji Brown Jackson that.
Yeah, what is a black person?
You don't know what a woman is. What about a black person?
Exactly.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah. Can you define that? One of my engineers, he's from PA. He's a little loose on the wrists. I think he identifies as a black guy.
He identifies as a black guy?
Loose in the wrists. You mean Gaylord?
He's gay. He's a homosexual man.
I didn't say it. You did.
Well, yeah, I sure did. I'll say it again.
Well, either that or he's just a really good golfer. You got to have great
gotta
wrist.
Have
I thought it was all in the hips, though.
It's both.
Chubbs Peterson said happy. It was all in the hips.
Yeah, yeah. It's both.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. to Chubbs, dude.
Yeah.
That was my best life
and the movie.
Yeah.
That was my best performing reel of all time. When he died, I did a reel on my personal Instagram about that movie inspiring me to join the military, Carl Weathers and Predator.
Really?
Mm. And it had like 1.4 million views on my little shitty 1,000 follower Spartan Forge account.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, not Spartan Forge, personal account, on my shitty personal account. Like millions of views.
What was it about that movie? Was it all the dudes?
Greased up?
Well, that,
the
but
bicep,
also...
The vascular biceps?
Yeah. Get over here, damn it.
Yeah.
Dylan, you son of a bitch. What is with the CIA? Got you pushing too many pencils. Anyway, yeah.
Joel's a big Schwarzenegger fan back there. He does a good Schwarzenegger as well.
Let's hear it.
We could have you do dueling Schwarzeneggers. Joel, you're going to have to come up
Joel,
and do it, all right?
Come over here.
I'm going to take my Schwarzenegger. I'm going to punch it through you.
Come down to the mic and let's have a conversation between Arnold Schwarzenegger.
My wife says my
Arnold.
Accent is 30% of the reason why she married me.
I understand that.
The Arnold one or just your
Well,
normal
lots
one?
Of them. I do a lot of, but.
Do you do it in the Arnold. Bedroom?
Of course I do.
Do you climax as Arnold?
It's like getting the pump. It's like I'm coming. Get over here.
We had a super fucked up guest one time, and it was the show was lost. So I was like, "Fuck this, let's go." And I was asking her about having sex with Leonardo DiCaprio, and I'm like, "You know, if you guys do have sex, he only has sex in character as Gilbert Grape. So he's fully retarded when he has sex, and he's gonna look at you. Her name was Gina, and all he's gonna say is G gon' come. She was so appalled that I did it 18 more times throughout the show.
I have to watch that after this.
And it's part of me and Dan's favorite. Like, I don't read the comments or anything. Occasionally, if I have to screenshot one for advertisers, I will. One of the comments was the one that I caught was like, "Why does Ross do that like 18 times in a row?" It's because it makes Dan laugh.
And that's a tough feat.
It's impossible. The only other time I got him to laugh like that was in an airport one time. And I was a few drinks deep. And I just kept saying, milky white tits. But I dragged it out for like 40 seconds. And other people could hear and all that other shit. And he broke.
He's not even cracking a smile right now.
No.
You know what?
Is he ticklish?
One of our... No, I'm not. one of our... a sketch, I'm not going to rope anybody else into this because it's damaging, but a sketch that I really want to do is a woman with a really bad stutter. She's also super racist.
That'd be funny.
So she keeps trying to say the N-word, but she can't get it out.
She never finishes the end.
Which N-word?
The one that you can't say.
Thinking of, yeah.
Oh.
ER.
Gotcha.
Hard R.
Yeah. Holy hard R.
Oh, yeah.
Hard I didn't even know that was a thing till my son told me.
Really?
Like, yeah, like the kids in the school won't get big trouble for saying it with an A. But if they apply the R, they're all like, that's.
I've got kids. I wouldn't even say the A at this point. Yeah. You know, why risk it?
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, like, that is the unforgivable sin.
Oh, yeah. Same with this show. We could say anything except for that word.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I can talk about Hitler. I can talk about fucking.
Which one, though?
Dave?
Yeah, Dave Hitler.
Dave Hitler. Dave. The one who didn't get the credit he deserved.
Well, he got no credit.
My little friend Dave Hitler, yeah.
Hey, Joel, we told you to come on down and grab the mic.
I don't think Joel exists.
Get over here. I want to hear it.
Joel, come down.
Right now.
Man, he's so mad that he's got to actually get up right now. Slow Bear is what we call him in the office.
That's hilarious. I got a story about a Slow Bear after this podcast.
Yeah, let's do it.
Take too long. Right, not take too long.
I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. Let's talk about your early career, though. Like, for real. So, Dan said all your shit was
where are you
was
going?
Pretty
get
secretive.
Back over here.
I mean, I son supported secretive operations. I would say what I was the guy always with. I took my glasses off for this because I wanted to look, like, cool. But I was always the guy who'd show up with, like, glasses with tape around the corner and, hey, guys, I think the bad guy's in there. And then guys like Tim Kennedy or other people would go in and kill everyone.
Right.
And then I'd go in afterwards and be like, I need that computer. Can someone move that body? I need that phone.
Is that how it works?
A lot of times, yeah.
No shit. I was always curious who runs in and grabs like the electronic devices and all that stuff.
It was me for a while.
Joel, stay there. Grab a microphone.
He's not even wearing shoes anymore.
Oh, God. Are you barefoot today?
He's got that sweet crane shirt on. That is
yeah,
so
that's
awesome.
A pretty dope
go
crane
barefoot
shirt.
Go barefoot at the Olive
What's
Garden.
What's going on here?
Yes, how are you? Yeah. I have a few
I'm
questions.
Pretty good.
What's need to ask immediately.
You? It looks like your biceps and your triceps are a little scrawny today.
I don't work them equally. I'm worried about my crotch, like you.
Yeah, you have a huge jock. That's pretty cool.
Big Johnson, like Mike Johnson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard about that guy.
I bet he's got a micro. He was queer,
Mike Johnson, not the best. People say to me, I don't say to them. Frankly, your Schwarzenegger's just okay.
No, it's pretty good, actually.
It's pretty good. Sorry. I have a hard time saying his last name, though.
I've never done impressions or told people that I can do impressions until right now. It's because of how comfortable Dan makes me.
Well, he does that to people. He's got that effect on people.
Yeah. I'm a lot of people's muse, actually.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, the first time I met him, I asked like a common person between us, like afterwards, I'm like, is he always like that or does he just fucking hate me?
No, that's the typical question.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And they were like, well, both.
Both, yeah.
But
it's both equally.
Yeah. She's actually back there.
Oh,
the
Danica?
The person I asked, yeah.
Oh, Danica girl fucking with Dinho's man. Danica's been on the show before, and she's the one, by the way, for the audience and the audio listeners, who took us to her hometown, went out of the way to take us to her hometown to show us where she had killed like three people. And all I wanted was coffee, and it took me an hour and 40 minutes to get coffee. In the meantime, she took us to her fucking hometown and was like, oh, this is where so-and-so died, and so-and-so died. And I was like,
it was like the only coffee between here and Notre Dame. We're in Chicago. Is this place where, and then we're heading there. And then all of a sudden it turns into, you know, somebody was murdered there.
Yeah.
And she kept talking about it like it was somebody else. But you know how that goes.
We're
right?
The bodies, yeah. And now that you know, and now I know that you've seen dead bodies.
Yeah.
I
continue to see them.
Yeah, I know you do. I know you do. How long were you in the military for?
Oh, 21 years.
Jesus Christ. So you got, you know, the full pension and all that fun shit, huh?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I did.
And how many dead bodies did you see there?
I don't know.
Yeah.
A lion's share.
What are you talking about? Over a grand? Ariana Grande?
I'd say I'm in that wheelhouse.
Okay.
No, not 1,000. No, less than that. I mean, it depends on what you consider. Like, in person, I don't know, a couple hundred or so, or less.
Well, here's why I asked.
Because I'd be showing up after. I never did the killing, to be clear.
Sure.
I'm not an operator.
No, totally.
I'm a nerd for operators.
But that's my thing. If you're a nerd, that's why I asked. If you're a nerd at home, and you're saying to yourself, hey, dude, I can't join the military because I, you know, want to be on the computer. You did it.
Yeah.
And then you got to go in and see some cool guy shit and take all their stuff.
Yep.
What's the first thing you go and look for to grab when they tell you to come in the house and everybody's dead?
Anything of intelligence value that could lead to a potential operation. That's okay. Like.
But for a civilian, what is that exactly?
Phones, computers, magazines, hard drives, thumb drives. Anything at least for me, now there are other people, depending on the scope and size of the operation, that might be going and doing other forensics. But for me, it was mostly technology-based stuff.
Gotcha. And then when you took it and then you went back to base, were you immediately downloading everything or trying to hack passwords and things like that?
Yeah, so all of that. We would actually, like a doctor would do, we'd do triage, where it's like you're trying to get the easy information first that might lead to actual intelligence, and then you do more of a deep dive after that. So how can we kill people quicker? What do we have right now to help us kill people quicker? Like launch another operation. Because all of that has, all of that intelligence has, like there's a temporal value to it. So if you wait too long, you might have had something where you could have gone and killed someone. But now that they know that that operation happened, you might have needed to do that in the first 12 hours. But now that, that they know that that area is compromised, they might be like, oh, I'm going to un-ask AO and leave this place because their assumption might be that we know where they are.
Yeah, gotcha. There's a lot of decentralized foreign actors out there that we deal with, right? So we can use the same tactics on them again and again, right? And they don't necessarily get wise to it, or at least it takes a little bit longer. There are some enemies that are pretty well connected despite our best efforts to interdict that connection. And if you do a certain type of ambush or SIGINT collection or something like that, and your method gets exposed, then they switch up real quick. I mean, it's like dealing with criminals, basically.
Right? Yeah. Sources and methods.
Mm-hmm. What's the easiest password that you had?
No password is a really easy one. Like, you just actually, the password, I think, comes up, you just push enter.
And did that happen a lot of the times?
It happens more than you think. Or the word password happens more than you
think.
No shit. Yeah.
Because we hear that all the time, right? And it's usually a joke or it's in passing or something like that. That's true, huh?
Oh, very true. God, and then the other thing, too, is like there's, for this being like a holy war, and these guys apparently being on the right side of that holy war, more porn than you would think. And well, crazier porn than you would think. And we had to examine all of that stuff. So, because sometimes there's intelligence value in there. But where was that downloaded? What's on there? All of that type of stuff. So how many
hours of porn did you have to watch for your work?
A lot.
As many hours as there were in the day.
Especially when I was like what you would call an examiner. You have to go through that stuff because there's intelligence value there, or there can be.
I'm going to ask you the same question I asked this porn editor that used to work for me in LA. How many times did you jack off then throughout the day?
Actually, it made you like not want to jack off.
Why?
Because it just, you get, well, first off, you get desensitized to it. So it's like not doing it for you. But then secondly, you're like, it puts you on like the same playing field with a bunch of shitheads. You're like, God, all these shitheads do this. I'm not like these guys. I don't want to do this.
But you are.
What's the intelligence value of knowing this terrorist or that terrorist is into amputee porn, for example, right?
Yeah, so that's a good question.
Like, just for a honey trap, if you want to tell the agency that they're trying to trap this guy in some compromising situation, like, well, all you got to do is find a girl missing an arm, right?
Yeah, so there's one. So one of the things that I would assist in was it was technical means for human intelligence, which would be like James Bond, even though he would be a shitty spy. But it's just as easy for your listeners to quickly understand like what a human intelligence asset is. You might be, if you say, hey, I'm talking to a guy today who really knew whatever the terrorist name is, let's just say Abu.
Mohammed,
bad guy, right? Yeah. So I really knew him well, we grew up together. Then you might say something like, well, do you know, did he ever say what kind of porn he was into or what he, like, did he ever talk about those types of things? And if you're trying to assess whether the guy actually has access and placement and actually, you know, says he was in the room with this guy, you might say, yeah, actually people brought up that they've heard he likes, you know,
wheelchair porn.
And then you could, you know, check that in the, okay, this guy probably actually knew him, call him. That would be one way. There's other stuff. Again, I don't want to sound like a douchebag, and I have a problem sometimes where I do sound like a douchebag. There's obviously also other things, but sources and methods, right? Like I was telling Danica, as he said,
Danica girl.
I that never actually got like a formal brief from the military saying here's what you can or cannot talk about. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of shit where I'm like, God, I don't know if I can say that or not. But that would be one thing that you would get from an intelligence value, just from understanding what it is, but then also where it was downloaded, how it was downloaded, with the date that was downloaded, and where from. Because then you could also say, you told us you were here with him in the Kashmir region of Afghanistan, or I'm sorry, Pakistan in 2014. Yeah. But then you know, looked through his laptop and he was downloading shit in the UAE during that date time period, right?
Yeah, because so then
you check against that.
If you look in the metadata of that piece of media, whatever it happens to be. It's a picture, video, doesn't matter what it is. There are tags all in the backside of it that show when, where, geospatially it was fucking downloaded, which is useful information.
But in
Osama bin Laden's files, and this is common, I think, a lot amongst a lot of people, there's a lot of data hidden inside of JPEGs.
Yes, right. That's why we have to examine all of it.
So you see a JPEG, I mean, a 4K, a big JPEG file is going to be pretty big. Like a RAW file is like 4 gigs or something like that. But you can take a regular JPEG that's more like 2 megabytes.
Yep.
And then dump a bunch of data in there, and then it's 4 gigs. It doesn't even cross your mind to think, oh, that those are just raw files I'm looking at. But in reality, there's a bunch of hidden shit in there.
There's been data interleaving going on where there's stuff in there that wasn't obvious on first blush. And that's a useful way to pass information.
And there's a bunch of good information right there. So these dum-dums use something called a Hawala network, which is like a hand-to-hand money transfer. And you're like, well, how do they keep track of any of this shit? They keep track of it in fucking data streams like that, right? Yeah.
And now with the advent of things like NFTs and Bitcoin, it's getting even more difficult to track these types of things.
Man, I've got so many Trump NFTs from that last round. They all sold out in 4 minutes. I've got, I think, 36 of them, but... I understand it. I'll kind of run those through something else so nobody finds out where I was that day. But for you, what was the craziest porn you saw?
It wasn't really the craziest. Well, I could think about that and probably come up with something. To me, it was the amount of blonde-haired girl porn and then child porn.
So you have
to like sign all of this shit like, because you're examining noxious media. So a lot of time there would be like child porn, which is horrible. But you had to, again, the examination.
What ages?
It's always like really young boys.
Like, what,
it's the most common porn on a terrorist, from my experience, and I'm just speaking for myself, would be like 3 to 7 year olds.
God damn.
And then blonde, big boobs. Like, if you were to ask a 12 year old in 1994 in Alabama to draw his perfect woman, that's all their porn.
Pam Anderson?
Yeah, Anna Nicole Smith type of stuff. Yeah. Like, all of that stuff. And it's just freaking everywhere. It's like, I thought you guys were supposed to be like the holy war good guys. Like,
how do you watch child porn all the way through and mentally come out of that okay? I'm a dad, I got three kids.
Like saying that there's analysis and there's a positive outgrowth from this, like you're actually going to kill these guys, so it has to be done, and if not you, then who? I actually talked about this. I saw a panel that Dan was on with Tim Kennedy and Tulsi Gabbard, and one of my things was like, sounds so cliche, but it's true, and I try to speak the truth whenever I can. I started reading like Stoicism, Marcus Aurelius, Epictetus, and like thinking about like abstracting away what you're looking at and just say, I'm here for the intelligence value. I'm here because these guys need to die. And so I'm going to do this.
Yeah, if you work in a federal agency or for a local police department, they rotate people in and out of that position
pretty frequently.
Regular basis, because they don't want somebody spending too much time there, because everybody's going to
break. They'll lose their mind.
Everybody will break eventually. Yeah.
Yeah. You will. It will. Yeah. It's crazy stuff, dude.
So that,
I mean, there's a lot of suicides involved in that particular line of work, as you might imagine, because you're like dealing with the worst people imaginable.
The worst people doing the worst things. Like, and then you're seeing it in real time.
The editor that I was talking about earlier, the porn editor, he was doing obviously legal over 18 porn it ruined his life. And he had the same story about his editor friends, where it was just relationships, all that other stuff. I can't even imagine having to watch it for children all day long, and then trying to compartmentalize whatever the fuck I'm trying to say. That.
Yeah, compartmentalize.
Yeah, I didn't say that word for me.
Carpetmentalize.
There you go. It's just so fucked up to think about. I don't think mentally I would be strong enough to block that out without having that carry over the rest of my life.
Well, on par with that, and it may not sound like it's just as bad, but for me, it was. You can't help what affects you and what doesn't affect you. I can only tell you that when the ISIS stuff was going on, I was involved with the analysis of all like the Americans on the beach getting their heads cut off. And we get those full videos and have to do intelligence analysis on those too. Like watching a dude who doesn't want to get his head cut off, and then watching these terrorists, whatever you want to call them, these pussies, actually do it and then realize they don't have the arm strength for it.
Yeah.
And it's going slowly and not well. That to me is as bad or worse. I don't know why, but like you're just like, I gotta get this over with. That shit's rough.
I've watched the head chopped off videos before.
Have you seen the ones where they like run out of strength?
Yep. Like Nick Berg.
Or the first one. Yeah, when the blade was dull.
Yes.
And then they're trying to just, I mean, it's like trying to saw a overcooked steak.
Anybody who's dressed a deer or something like that would know like how tough your spinal cord actually is in these things. It just speaks to how idiotic these people are. But yeah, that stuff's rough too. So, I mean...
But the child poor thing would get me where I don't know that I would
just
be able to live
as much. But again, like I try to really put everything in the context of if not me, who? I don't want to put this on someone else, and I'm gonna kill bad guys with this.
Right.
Like even if it means there was no intelligence value here, I move on.
Man, that's wild, dude.
We got really solemn here all of a sudden.
No, look, it's interesting. Like, that's why I love this job every single day, because you get the opportunity to ask about things like this. Because a lot of people at home, you might see somebody come back from overseas and even, you know, they weren't doing the cool guy shit and killing everybody. They had to do this shit, which could be equally as mentally fucking
debilitating. Yeah, we had a guy kill
debilitating.
Himself.
Yeah.
I worked at an organization that did this, like the whole organization was started to do this. It was called the National Media Exploitation Center. And I'm 90% sure that there was a guy there that killed himself. I knew he killed himself, but I think it had to do with him having reviewed, did noxious media review for a few months. I hope I'm not speaking out of school and that it wasn't something else, but I think him killing himself had a lot to do with that. And it was during that time. I was the operations chief at the time in charge, like in the Army would say it was like an S3, but I was in charge of like the tactical element that did all of this stuff. And we'd do a morning stand up every morning. We did the morning stand up and I remember seeing him and thinking he looked off. And that afternoon he killed himself like in a hotel, had wife and kids and everything. And so, yeah, it really affects people.
Yeah.
But for me again, and to bring it back to what I'd said, the Army's really shitty at preparing people for that aspect of combat. And we talked about it. Mm-hmm. And for me and other people, there's like two things that I've seen really work well for people: religion, and say what you want about it, but I've seen it work well for people to act as a buttress against these things.
I agree.
The other thing for me, especially, was stoicism, and like just my mother was an alcoholic when I was a kid, and she'd always do the she'd bring me to meetings, and I'd always hear them talk about the Serenity Prayer, and what I got from the Serenity Prayer was what I abstracted from it, which I still use to this day, and I was just talking to Danica about it earlier, was give me the strength to change the things I can. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I say that to myself all the time. And then I also go back and read the Stoics, who essentially were saying the same thing. Like, things don't affect you, your reactions to things affect you. And when I read that during this time when I was doing a lot of this shit in the military, it really helped me a ton. And I really I brought the question up to Dan and those guys at the panel, which was, why are we not implementing something? Like, first off, our chaplains are neutered, which is a whole other podcast. Mm. Like, they're just all like milk toast assholes for the most part.
You need a fun one with an akou guitar.
Yeah, yeah, and like campfires and shit.
Yeah, dude.
I think our chaplains should be actual therapists. And not a guy, not a religious person who's been trained in therapy. I think it should be the other way around.
Yeah, but also just quality people that can actually say what they think without fear of retribution. If you're going to have those people in there, you can't neuter them. Mm. But then the second thing is, we should be talking about things like stoicism and how people like, I think Epictetus is better for the military than maybe someone like Marcus Aurelius. Marcus Aurelius was a emperor of Rome. I'm sorry, an emperor who wrote what he called the Meditations. And people always talk about that when they talk about stoicism. But there's another guy who was a slave named Epictetus who wrote similar things right after he was freed from being a slave. He served under Nero. And his stuff is just as good, I think, and really helped me out, like parsing out, like, you're here to do a job. Don't think about the job. Don't let things affect you. Your reaction to things are what you need to focus on. Get the work done. Kill the bad guys. And that really helped me.
Yeah, and I Dan and I aren't big religious guys in this show. However, we've said the same thing over the years. I think religion is important for people that need it, and it gives something to believe in on a daily basis. And whatever gets you through the day, man, I think is great.
For me,
except
it was,
for one religion.
you mean Islam?
Yeah.
Yeah. Islam, as it's practiced widely, is incompatible with civilized society. I say this all the time.
But everything else,
I don't give
is
a
fine.
Fuck if that comes back on me or not. It's pretty obvious that that's the case.
Oh, don't worry, we'll get most of it back here.
Sure, yeah, we'll do it. Yeah. I've relied primarily on Hulkamania.
Yeah, he has for years.
Tell you what, brother.
Yeah. Vitamins, man. Yeah, I'm savage. I'm a savage guy.
Nice.
He's a Hulkamania guy.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Cup of coffee, man. Cup of coffee.
It's pretty good.
But with you doing this for that many years.
So I didn't do the Noxious Review for many years. I did the Noxious Review for about 2 month periods, three times.
Okay.
That was enough.
And then did you ask to get shifted out of like, hey, dude,
I can't. I still did it, but you'd pass it off, like Dan said before, you'd pass it off to people who were doing it. At least that's how we did it in Afghanistan and Iraq. Like, there'd be certain people who were doing that, like, hey, dude, there's noxious media here. Then someone else would do it. And then sometimes it was your turn, sometimes it was someone else's
turn. Do you give them a warning of like, hey,
dude? Well, they know that's their job. That's what they're doing.
Okay.
At least that was the TTP at the time. That was how we practiced it at the time.
Okay. And then after that, what'd you end up doing?
Well, that was just like 3 years of my life doing a lot of what we call sensitive site exploitation in the military, which that was. I also did, technical solutions for, not sounding like a douchebag, but like operators like SOCOM, JSOC, SEALs would need, you'd be in country at some place where either you're supposed to be or not supposed to be, and they need some type of technical solution, and I have an engineering background, so, hey, dude, we need to stick a camera in a pair of headphones. And I'm going to be wearing these headphones on an objective. I'm there to meet someone. They're not going to know I'm filming them, but I need to be able to film them and get, like, a proof of life or something. I don't know. Anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be my job to put that shit together.
Anytime, just out of curiosity, that any of these gadgets were dildo related?
Was it ever inserted inside someone, and that's how you're getting
the
intel?
Was definitely shit that was inserted inside of people, yes.
What did it smell like?
Worse than you think.
Rusty pennies?
Cat food. We'd always, the time I'm thinking of, it actually went in a condom and then it went inside of a person. So when it came out, then I'd be like, remove that from the condom and then.
No fucking way. What was it?
Stuff. Just like.
Come on.
A microphone was part of it.
A microphone inside their anus.
This size, yeah. It's full size.
There's a lot of context here to explain exactly why that had to go in there and where it was going, but they're crossing like border. There are points that were controlled where they knew they were going to be getting inspected. And then you'd choose like the funkiest person. Like there's no way they're going to make this guy bend over. And
you're kidding.
Not at all.
God damn, dude.
I didn't do it.
I love this shit.
Well, you're not going to fucking choose some washed up twink.
Right.
That's true.
Because everybody's going to want to see his
Hello?
Asshole. You're going to want to see his
Don't
asshole.
Don't give it to me. I'm dazzling.
Yeah.
Which is Turn ironic because the one guy that wants shit up his ass is the guy who can't put shit in his ass.
Exactly.
Ass,
man.
Yeah. That's just the tragedy of life, to be honest.
What was the worst one that you saw where you were just like, everybody talked about it and you're like, oh, you're not going to fucking believe this one?
Well, so in a different capacity, I was doing targeting. I was riding around in airplanes. Confirming if there are bad guys or not in places. And then I'd take videos. We use this thing called it was called a baller, but it was like a ball that sat on the top, bottom of the airplane. And we make videos. And then for like infantry guys or for JSOC guys, I would snap new pictures of the area. So like if there are power lines in an area, we call them GRGs, but like if there are power lines in an area or there was some type of infrastructure that had been changed, just wanted to know that when they were landing, they weren't like, they might've had pictures from 6 months ago and they picked out a landing zone, but then the power grid is really dynamic there, so shit changes all the time. So I would just take pictures and confirm that everything was cool, and then you'd try to count how many people are going in and out of the building so they had an idea of how many dudes were there. Again, I didn't participate in these operations. I was always the nerd gathering intel before the operation. And it would be frequently that you'd see dudes. Not frequently. I can think of at least three times where I'd see dudes who would purport to be non-homosexuals engaged in homosexual activity on the top of a building because it was really hot there, so they'd always sleep on top of the buildings in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be like, oh, there's people getting it on. And then, the assault would happen and the arrests are there and you're getting the pictures and everything. And then you'd be going back to do interrogation and there'd be the briefings and you're like, there's no chick here.
Yeah.
What was happening there?
Mm.
And then
two dudes fucking.
It was just two men enjoying each other's strength.
Celebrating. So I saw that at least once and heard about it at least two more times.
See, I would be if I would expect that there's, because they're not the smartest group. They, like, and idioms and posture and things like that don't really translate from one culture to another.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not very good, in my opinion, not very good at hiding when they're full of shit. Because I think the bartering culture is, it makes being full of shit part of culture openly, right?
Yeah.
Like you can, if I'm trying to sell him this computer, I'll lie through my teeth to get him to pay more money for it. And he'll call me a liar for it. And then eventually we'll arrive at some agreeable price. But even if one of us thinks the other one fucked us over, that isn't a point of contention. That's just how the game is played, right?
Mm-hmm.
Over there when it comes to transferring goods. I think that leaks into their broader culture. And their cues as far as like pretending like they're not lying are very obvious to me anyways. So,
and you found the same way?
Yeah, I would say that by and large that was the same.
And
yeah.
The thing that I would... I have never heard a story about this, but I know it's happened because it had just with all the operations we've done with all the people we've done, it has to have happened at some point where an agent who is not a member of U.S. forces, an agent, somebody we recruit from somewhere else, right? Just to get the parlance right. An agent who is just too interested or excited about things going up his ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That has to have happened at some point where a little Ahmed is like, it's like, hey, we're gonna have to get this item over this checkpoint, and he's like, ass, my ass, right here,
right here. I'm the guy. I'm the guy for that. I'm the guy for that.
Yeah,
over here.
He's like squeezing lube into his hand already.
Yeah,
you're like,
all right. You can hear it.
Somebody keep. Somebody go check his browser history.
I found this lube that's laying on the floor.
Yeah, somebody check his browser history because Ahmed is up to no good. There has to be at least one of those
easily
in all of Spidem. Since we started all this shit way back and way back when, you know for a fact that's happened at least once.
I'm sure it's going on with drug mules and shit, where they're can we put more heroin in my ass?
Reynaldo.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Reynaldo.
Yeah.
Right? God, doesn't go crazy. By Ray. It's the whole name. It's like calling it's like calling somebody James. Like, no, that's gay.
That's gay.
He wants stuff up his ass. And look, to be honest, if we could just all get on board with this... This is a symbiotic relationship.
It really is.
Don't shame him for that. Be like, hey, let's see how wide we can get that thing.
Not going to. As long as he's of age.
And he maintains some level of rectal integrity so my materials aren't just falling out.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of ways to measure this. Balloons? Volume?
I think you got to go weight. Displacement? I think you got to go weight there.
Well, here's
weight as well.
Yeah.
What we haven't necessarily done that I'm familiar with is putting the condom or balloon or whatever inside the ass and inflating it from there. While it's inside.
Oh, blowing it up?
Right. That way you maintain the rectal integrity, and then you get to start, you're building a cavity in there, so anything that'll fit through that condom hole, you can just push it through.
Don't you do that with all engineers are writing this down.
Yeah, Bob is actually.
Yeah, he's writing it down.
Yeah, don't they do that with like heart surgery or whatever? They put a balloon in?
Yeah,
they do,
To put a stent in? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
They sure do.
That's exactly how it works. So why can't you do that? Why can't you do that when, I mean, you could fit, to be honest, women carry around a 10-pound fucking baby in there, so you could put 10 pounds in about, how many cubic centimeters is a baby?
No
look
idea.
It up, goddammit. It'll
it depends
you can look
on
it up.
How big the baby is.
No, yeah, but like the average human baby will have somebody,
743.
Somebody's 7 pounds. It's about 7 pounds, yeah.
Yeah,
so.
It's 7 pounds of baby in that asshole.
So it looks like a 7 pound baby would have a volume of about 183.07 inches cubed.
Okay, inches. So that's fine. So 187 times what, 3?
Yeah.
I guess. But anyways, 187 cubic inches of space you can create in there without the person dying, presumably.
Yeah.
Because we got all the same organs except for the uterus. They just got more. They just make room for it. There's a lot of room in there.
There is.
And
you're
it'll
looking
expand.
At 541 inches total, I think. So,
a lot of centimeters.
That's a lot of carrying capacity.
Yeah.
It is.
So
but
you could put, I mean, like, honestly, I could disassemble this computer and get the whole thing up there.
Sure could.
Right?
You ever water birth a dump?
Say again?
You ever water birth a dump?
Water birth a dump. I don't even
dump
know what that
out in a pool.
You know
what a
water.
Oh no, I've never done that. No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, you kick your legs back and you're giving birth to
it's
it.
It's warm water. Enya's playing.
Yep.
Wow.
Candles.
You ever beach one?
I prefer
like
the
free willy.
Innocence.
Like a free willy. You ever beach one?
No.
Oh. So there's not enough water obviously in the bowl, so it's hitting all porcelain at that point. It's just kind of stuck there, and you've got to poke it back down. You usually wrap your fingers in toilet paper and stuff it.
I pee onto it usually.
I try to, but sometimes it's too heavy. But
I will say, whenever you get it on the side of the bowl and you pee it off, you feel like you've cleaned the whole
powerful.
House.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you feel powerful.
You feel like you're. Yeah. I am in charge.
Yep.
I am master of my realm.
Yep.
And I cleaned that.
Mm. Yeah.
And I did that.
The power of the hog, man. You're demonstrating the power of your own hog.
But there was a guy in college who he reached in and grabbed it, a buddy of mine, and he just goes, I had to know the answer of how heavy this thing was because it looked and it felt heavy. And he goes, you know, the old adage, I feel 10 pounds lighter. He goes, I want to know what this is. And yeah. He picked it up and grabbed it. And I was like, what was the final answer?
No gloves there? Or anything?
Nothing. Barehanded.
Like
a bear grabbing a salmon out of a fucking river, dude.
I couldn't find a video of a man pooping underwater, but I found something I think you guys need to see.
Okay, oh, great. Boy. Show this to us.
Is this semen? What is this?
No, you'll watch.
Okay.
Looks like
we don't
semen.
Know if we're on YouTube today or not, but... Oh, look at that. So,
oh,
yeah.
It's in reverse. Nice.
Jumping out midair. That's beautiful. That should be an Art Basel.
You got to play Foo Fighters over that.
I know. There goes my hero. Look at that thing.
Oh, man.
Looks like a cattail.
You know what else your buddy could have done if he wasn't a fucking mongoloid is just weigh himself before and after taking the shit. Instead of reaching his bare hand into the turlet and picking the turd up.
He had to know. You know what's weird is he's a high-powered attorney right now. Like, he's rich as fuck.
Well, yeah. So
oh, man. Really?
Well, because he figures things out for a living, dude.
He's a man with answers.
He's a guy that goes after what he wants, and he gets the answer, and then he moves on with his life. But the nonchalant of it was exactly, he's like Dan. He was a lot like Dan, where he was just like, eh, I had to try it. And then just moved on with his day.
A socialist politician in Spain just got caught eating his own shit.
For sexual pleasure?
And he resigned. I mean, why else do you do it?
Just to know what it tastes like?
No, he was doing it on camera, and I think there may have been a dog collar involved.
Oh, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
All right.
So I just, I was seeing a comedian.
To piggyback on that dog collar shit-eating guy.
Yeah.
Dot, dot, dot.
Dot, 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 that's you.
I saw a comedian last, it was Rogan, but he was talking about freaking how COVID basically showed that men... Truly, men are more disgusting than women because there was something like 130 dudes that they counted that had been fired for masturbating during Zoom calls,
mm-hmm.
but not one woman.
No. No.
So that really gives you a good dichotomy of who's the more disgusting sex.
It's us for
maybe
sure.
Maybe women just are better at technology.
No, they're just not into it. Like, it's a mental thing. It's more of a mental thing.
Unless there's something wrong with them, I think it's not the visual thing for them that it is for us.
Yeah, like because I was asking Danica back there it on a car ride. What? I asked her.
No, go for it.
And she had her own weird sexual preferences. Oh, and yes, she kept talking about the weighted ball, and I was like, "What is that?" And it was a padlock that went through a nutsack, and it kind of dragged it down, and once that's banging against you, it makes it feel like a high school locker again, and that's. What Danica was into, and I was like, all right. And she was like, that's the only way I can get off. And I was like, okay, cool. I don't need to hear anymore. My wife was in the car, and she wouldn't shut the fuck up about it. But, yeah.
Bob, you can show just the device, I think.
It's right there.
You can show just the device.
Yep.
The weighted ball device.
I think.
It's a cage for your nutsack, right?
Yeah. It's a little. It's just a padlock that goes through the scrotum.
But it's. It's a padlock through the scrotum.
Yeah,
we definitely can't show that.
Well. Depends on where we're at.
We can show it to Bill.
Are we on Patreon? Or?
This is intense.
We'll show it to Bill.
Yeah.
Pull it up for Bill. Do you expect to get into this today? Hey, do you feel like you're back overseas now?
Yes, absolutely. This is precisely the types of conversations that happen when you're waiting outside of like an objective somewhere. Mm. And someone like Dan will just say something totally off the wall and then it leads to a huge conversation on padlock ball sacks.
Yeah, so it's just your stock standard padlock. You can just pull that up for him and just show the audience.
Yeah, you just
there.
Put it through there your beanbag. Yeah, the one right I was thinking of is the circular one that's a cage that goes around your dick and balls. It's like a chastity belt thing.
Oh, I've seen the ads for it. I've never seen one on a dude, but a padlock I've seen like through a scrotum. And that's a fun thing.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I did after that, and you talked about it earlier, I was going to say it before, is like, I don't watch porn.
Anymore?
No, I haven't for like probably 6 or 7 years.
You married?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Happy relationship?
Yeah.
Great.
Yes.
Great. Does she know what you've seen over there?
Oh, yeah. She works in the same space.
So that makes total sense then. So... Well, you guys at least know what the fuck's going
she's
on.
She's still in the government. She works for the fucking FBI.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Is she listening to this?
She's looking for a way out. I told her, I was like, look, if I go on with these guys, I was talking about you guys specifically. I was like, I'm not going to hold back my feelings about the FBI. I actually mentioned her on his podcast earlier.
Yeah.
And didn't say it was my wife. But I mean, that organization needs to be totally disassembled and overhauled.
How bad is it?
There was a guy that my wife worked for, I'll say years ago, many years ago, who I would be on the phone with her and he'd be calling her a, can I say really bad words in
cunt?
This? Anything yeah. you want. He'd be like, you're being a cunt right now, a real cunty cunt. And you need to, and he wasn't joking or saying in like jest where you could laugh. He was actually saying that to her. And they were in this like little unit that was like set aside out in the middle of nowhere. And he hired his friends. He would only retain his friends. Anybody who tried to buck the system, he would crush. And he had full support of the leadership.
That's exactly what we figured it was.
And they all knew it. And it's just the whole and every time I've dealt with those people, like even going back to like 2006, them and a couple of other three-lettered organizations, they need to be. I told him earlier, downsize them by 80% and move them to disparate parts of the country. Somebody needs to go there, to go through there, and just yeah, you know, an office space where they. You know, what is it that you do here?
Mm-hmm.
Those guys need to go through that whole organization because it's way worse than people think it is. However bad you think it is, multiply it by three.
What's the FBI even for? Like, it was started because certain criminal gangs were operating across state lines and it was a way to marshal power between those agencies and interdict that interstate crime, but that's not what the FBI does anymore.
Yeah, but also that's easily done through agreements between states now.
Technology
has made the world flat enough.
MOAs, yeah.
That could just be done pretty quickly.
Or MOUs, excuse me.
I agree. So let's throw the CIA in there. Any use for the CIA?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I talked about that on his show as well, so maybe go on, listen to that one as well. But
yeah, Citizen's great.
I was so surprised how many of them were like, well, my dad was in here for so and so, and I was working for name your huge conglomerate company where her dad or his dad's friends all work.
Yep.
And then my dad said, you know, I should probably come here. And while he was in the CIA, we lived in France.
Mm-hmm.
So I speak French, and now I'm going to go back there and I'm going to do this for like 4 years. And I got a guy who's going to write a book, and then I'm getting out. And I'm like, that's why you're here? I got to trust you with my life.
Bill, you've been on podcasts before. You know we got some sponsors. Put this shit wagon on the air, brother. If I don't read these, we can't keep the fucking lights on, Bill. So hold your goddamn pants up, all right? First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. 50% off everything in the entire store. Yes, I've tried it. It has arrived at my house. I have tried the massage topper. It is fucking bomb, dude. It's so goddamn bomb. I fell asleep on the upstairs. Wearing the same clothes from yesterday. Was working late. And I was like, man, I got to try out the new product. I got to pull it out of the box. I went right to sleep. Holy shit. It rocks. Right now, it's available for pre-order on ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Highly recommend it. It comes in a twin size, but it's good for anywhere. You can just roll it out and put it on the floor, put it on top of the mattress. You can put it in your RV. You can do whatever you want with the goddamn thing. And it is phenomenal. Comes with a remote control. Can control all of it. Just lying down, was watching the games last night. That thing rocks, man. Shout out to, the fellas over at Ghostbed. You guys are fucking doing it these days, man. Rest of the store, though, all their products are great. Mattresses are 50% off, sheets, 50% off pillows, mattresses for RVs, weighted blankets, you name it, it is all 50% off over there, all made in the USA. They just signed a sweet deal with Venus Williams. That Venus Williams collection's available on the site as well. Ghostbed's doing big things, man. I know they're in a bunch of big retail stores as well. But you can't get the promo code of 50% off unless you get it with us. Use that promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. And not only will it get you 50% off everything, and that means everything. So if you put 60 items in there, all 60 items, when you check out, you're going to see a 3-year pay-as-you-go program. No interest as long as you have decent credit over there. And I tell you what, guys, just fucking put that code in, buy all your shit, and stretch it out over 3 years. You're paying $40 a month for Hulu. You might as well do it for a brand new bedroom set. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today before they pull this deal. Next up, we got ketone.com/drinking bros. That is KETONE.com/drinking bros. You can save 30% off your first subscription order of Ketone IQ. They got a new website for us. Proud of you boys. We appreciate, we've earned it. We've earned it. Not only that, but we drink, I don't know, somewhere around the neighborhood of 10 to 15 shots of this shit a day. Huge fan of Ketone IQ. What is it? Well, Ketone IQ is a clean shot of energy with no sugar or caffeine. When do you take Ketone IQ? Well, take it when you're feeling down, dude. Take it when you need to focus. I take it before every podcast. We start throughout the day, and then I'll usually take it when I write as well. Locks me in for 3 hours. It's better than that fucking gas station bullshit. I'm locked in for a good 3 to 4 hours on this shit. And that's hard for a guy like me. I've already got a lot of energy. It's just focused energy. And I'm a big fan of it. They've been doing projects with soldiers overseas. I know the DOD dumped a bunch of money into it. I feel great. I don't feel like I'm jittery or crashy like the fucking gas station bullshit. And some of the top Olympic athletes use this too. They're everywhere right now. Shit, I know they're in Sprouts. And they just signed a supplement and research partnership with Team Visma for the fucking Tour de France. These guys are everywhere. They won, shit, I think they won first, second, and third in the Tour de France. Shit's legal. You're good to go, dude. And you won't crash. Head on over to ketone.com/drinking bros for 30% off your first subscription order of Ketone IQ. That is KETONE.com/drinking bros. Next up, we got Josh Smith and the Montana Knife Company. Josh, I know you're listening out there, you piece of shit. We talked to you the other day. Right now, you can grab yourself a Blackfoot 2.0, Speed Goat, or Stonewall Skinner and use the code DB10 for 10% off your first order. But with DB10, you're also getting 10% off everything in the entire store over there. Montana Knife Company was founded by one of the most experienced bladesmiths in the world, Josh Smith. He's been making knives for over 30 years. All the knives are made in the USA, manufactured locally in Montana. They're designed, tested, and built by hunters. Montana Knife Company is a hunting knife company first and foremost. Sharpest knives out of the box and easiest knives to sharpen. Montana Knife Company is a young company working hard to keep up with the demand. Montana Knife Company sells out within minutes of being released, so head on over to MontanaKnifeCompany.com to see what's available now. Right now, again, the biggest deals are that Blackfoot 2.0, the Speed Goat, and the Stonewall Skinner. Use code DB10 for 10% off your first order over there. Kitchen knives, I believe they're still sold out. Those are the ones I got my wife for Christmas. Man, best I've ever had, and you'll never need to buy new ones, ever. I can promise you that. They last fucking forever over there. Big fan of you, Josh, even though I joke about your cock size. I do it out of jealousy. All right, last but not least, we got hardafseltzer.com. We're live in Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina, Ohio, and Texas. We'll be in Frisco May 17th. So, shit, 9 days. We'll be there from 4 to 7 at that HEB out there. They just picked up 100 cases out in Frisco. So D'Anthony Holloway and I will be there in store from 4 to 7. I just looked at the display, I don't know, roughly 30 minutes ago. So it's up now. So if you're in Frisco, Texas right now and want to go out and grab some Hard AF seltzers, do it. There's a massive display there. Tell them the Drinking Bros sent you. And we're super amped about it. Been to Frisco many a times for some Cowboys events and shit like that. Beautiful town out there. Great place to raise a family. Probably better than Austin, to be honest with you. We're lucky to be out there, that HEB. We're in 120 now. As of the update, as of an hour ago, 120 HEBs, every single Total Wines in the state of Texas. Alabama, we're in all the Piggly Wigglies. Every single Total Wines in the southeast, including Florida. Florida, that's the easiest. Every single Total Wines, easy to remember down there. Universal Hotel. If you're staying down there in Orlando, give a shout out to Charles Zeller and he'll hook you up with some Hard AF seltzer. Georgia, that Total Wine in Wilmington is sold out. We appreciate it there, but head on into Brunches
Brunches open up a new location in Carolina Beach this summer. Looking forward to that. God damn it, I love that place. Ohio, we're all over campus there. 14 and 0 Liquors, Standard Hall, Johnny's Tavern, Urban Meyer's Pint House out in Dublin, Ohio, and then the Short North Pint House downtown. If you're watching some of the playoff games this weekend, and then every single college in all of those states were there. Tuscaloosa, Auburn, University of Tennessee, UCF, you name it, we're there. And a bunch of places all over UT down here in Austin as well. Now, if we don't, if you're not in one of those states or one of the surrounding states, we still ship right to your house at hardafseltzer.com. So go there today. We also have a store locator where you enter your city or zip on there, and it'll take you to the closest location nearest you. So if you're one of those border states, just hop on over the fucking border there. Grab a 12-pack. Support us and support the show. We had some Secret Service because we leave the studio open for our listeners to come in and watch any of the shows. Dan and I had a couple of Secret Service agents that came in and watched the shows for the day and hung out with us, and we were talking with them afterwards. And I asked them the same thing. Why'd you get in it? You know, and they were like, I wanted to see the world and blah, 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 my family. And I was like, dude, my buddy who was in it from high school, same thing. His dad did it. So he did it. And that was it. And I was like, do you enjoy it? Do you enjoy any of this shit? It was like, nah, it's just what my dad did.
Yeah.
I've never met anybody who got into it for the right reasons.
I won't say I haven't met anyone that hasn't gotten into it the right reason, but by and large, most of them, it's like a dick measuring thing. It's an ego thing. You'll see like a team full of like E5 and E6s, or like a SOD A team, which is like a SIG and special operations team, or an ODA team of guys who've been there and done that, like all over the world twice, you know, total badasses, cool guys. And then there'll be some CIA liaison who's, you know, been there for 4 years, and they get all of this undue respect. And it takes them like 15 minutes to figure out that this person's an idiot. But they'll be, you know, the whole time, you know, acting like their shit doesn't stink and like they have operational control. And it's like, no, actually, you work for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're supposed to support the DOD. And fuck off. You know, that was my experience. And I might be on one side of the distribution. As I told Dan earlier, I'm a super disagreeable person. I say what's on my mind. I was able to get through the military because I was actually getting things done as well, so I was productive for the most part. Sometimes I wasn't. But so people that knew me, or like general officers or colonels that I worked for, were like, yeah, Bill's rough around the edges, but when I need him to get shit done, he gets shit done. So I was able to keep my job. I knew I was never going to be a contractor or a government civilian for a few reasons. One, I despise the institution as it stands, as it is today. But two, I'd have been fired in 6 months.
While you were over there, did you know that we were over there for the wrong reasons at the time?
Which place?
Weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, so my first deployment, I was Ra-Ra Susumba, like high and tight that looked like a football. Let's kill bad guys. My second deployment, I actually missed the birth of my son and was pretty upset about the whole situation. And again, talked about it on his podcast earlier, but really kind of delved into the founding of our country and why we're doing this and why the American experience is unique. And I thought by the end of that deployment, I'd be getting out, but I actually reenlisted while I was over there and just said to myself, I don't want to come back here, but I do want to continue to be part of this because I believe in the American experiment. It just needs to be set on the right course. And I didn't believe while we were in Iraq at that point that we were on the right course. It took me a long time. I think Dan said he was like 2 weeks of being in country and he's like, well, this is fucked. Yeah. It took me like, you know, almost 8-9 months of time.
What's easier to tell when you're on patrol in neighborhoods,
yeah,
to be honest?
Probably.
Like just doing ordinary patrols and shit, I think is, if you're hitting kinetic targets all the time, then the scope of your experience there is mostly, well, there's a lot of shitty people here. But yeah. If you're walking through neighborhoods on a daily basis, you're like, God, no, they don't want any of this.
And
this
did you,
is fucking weird.
Yeah, did you stay in for 21 years just to get the pension then, or what was it?
Well, no, I thought I was going to stay in for 30 years. But then as I started to get promoted and it started to get more and more political, I realized how much not a fit I was going to be. And then I'd be talking to, like, it's kind of esoteric for people. I'm sorry. It's kind of hard to understand for people who haven't served. But in the military, I was a warrant officer. And a warrant officer, you can think of the Army as like a school. You have like your students who are like your lower enlisted and privates. You have your NCOs who are the teachers who really do like the work, the non-commissioned officers. And then you have like officers who are like your principals, administrators, that type of thing. A warrant officer could be thought of as like the the technical advisor, which textbooks should we use, which programs should we adopt, what teaching methods, the technical guys involved in that type of thing. And that was my job, was as a warrant officer. And I really enjoyed being a warrant officer, like rank W1, which is like the lowest, through like W3. Because I really had carte blanche to do whatever I wanted. I'd deploy, I'd come back, I'd learn more cool shit. I'd deploy, I'd come back. But then as I got promoted into like W4, it started to become really political. And then I really started to see under the blanket. And I've said this a million times, and it's lost on some people, but I'll say it here again. I've never seen a general officer get treated more like shit than when we would go to either Congress or we would go to the Pentagon, and he hadn't spent every penny of money that he asked for.
In the budget?
In the budget.
Yeah.
So if he was like, well, actually, on this key performance area where we're trying to develop X and X capability, you know, we realized that we could do it at a tenth of the cost, but achieve the same operational effect, that guy would be fired.
Yeah, Evan Hafer, when he was our co-host back in the day, he used to say that all the time. He actually told a story about buying like this crazy like $250,000 coffee machine over there, just because if you do not spend all that money,
you're fucked.
You will cut the, they'll cut the budgets. Everybody else will be pissed
off.
We'll
also tell that general to leave.
Right.
But the other thing too is that you'd have this like mad scramble that started in like July that would go through September, where it was like, we don't care if the funding line is built, get this money spent. Mm-hmm. We don't care what it's for. If we can line it up with a requirement and there's a pipe, like the color of money is right, and we've got this cash left, go and spend it.
Yep.
Hey, chief, do you got any schools you got to go to? Go now. Like, well, I'm not sure I need this, TDY, but go. Like, and people in the comments, because I've said this before on their podcast, will be like, well, there's a really interesting reason for that, and it's because blah, 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 blah. It's like, shut up, dude. This is, people have to work for this money.
Yep.
And if they don't pay that money, they will send armed men to their house to get the money. And if they can't get it, they will arrest them and sell their shit. If we can identify an efficiency, we should fucking do it. And then that guy should be praised and not fired.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't buy that whole, well, the money's got to be executed because we programmed for it, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, we have effects that we need. If we can achieve them for a cheaper cost and achieve the effect and serve the warfighter and the taxpayer, like, we're good.
I mean, there's the tail wagging the dog, and then there's the infrastructure wagging the mission, which is way worse. I mean, that's insane to me that programmatic shit would get in the way of actually accomplishing the mission, but it's not out of the ordinary.
No, Hollywood does it all the time. Yeah. I had to do it.
No, I mean in government especially.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so
all of it. Government, Hollywood, shit, fucking car factories. It doesn't matter what you do in this life. Oracle, if you're taking clients out, like, hey, dude, spend the fucking money, or you're not going to get that budget for next month.
And, yeah, but
if, it doesn't matter what you do.
If that goes wrong, maybe the company suffers and maybe the shareholders suffer, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
In this scenario, people taxpayer. Die, right? So the best example of this happening is the Bin Laden raid, where they called a weather event on day one because they wanted it, because the correspondence dinner was the next day.
It was
day.
On Saturday night, yeah.
The White House correspondence dinner was the next day. So they called it for a negative weather event that didn't exist, and then they went out the next day, a negative weather event did exist, and one of the birds went down, right? Like, that part of the operation doesn't get talked about very much, except for by Rob and Cheese and some of the dudes that were on the raid. But that is what you're talking about in practical action, and the cost. Like, it turned out okay, but it could have gone very fucking badly for a bunch of dudes.
But Obama had a really good speech at the correspondence dinner that night, and he didn't want to waste those writers. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
He was on fire, so yeah, they pushed it. Because I remember watching on a Sunday night at this bar, and they broke in, and I was like, why is this happening on a Sunday? Dan was the one who told me that. I was like, no fucking way, dude. That's so gnarly.
The government lies all the time. You remember we'll talk about this on fake news tomorrow. I don't know when this episode's going out, but remember the bombing at HKIA that killed 13 people and how myself and a couple other people have been putting out information about that and how the government's been lying about it all this time. Well, now body cam footage from some of the Marines is coming out, and it shows that the Pentagon was lying. Not just the Pentagon, but all the journalists that just parrot their fucking stories too are just completely lying about this shit because they don't want to accept responsibility.
By the way, you know what the funniest part about that correspondence dinner was?
What's that?
The one that they moved the Bin Laden raid for?
Mm-hmm.
That was the correspondence dinner hosted by Seth Meyers that some say inspired Trump beyond a reasonable doubt to run for president because he laid into him so viciously saying, you will never be president.
That's great. That's great. Way that to go, Seth Meyers.
That was the dinner.
Well, let's just blame Seth Meyers.
Well, he's a cunt anyway, so.
Yeah, I hate Seth Meyers.
What are you going to do,
I fucking
right?
hate Seth Meyers. But when you get out, at this point, knowing what you know, are you like, all right, how do I start my own company and not deal with any of this fucking bullshit anymore and just try to live the life that I potentially want to lead versus one that I'm just being told fucking lies to and all that other shit every day?
Yeah, for me, it was two things. It was that. I wanted to get out and not be a part of the machine anymore. But secondly, what I was also worried about was the one cool thing about being part of the machine is, at least for the first, at least for about 12 years of that time period, was I collected intelligence, bad guys died, and I didn't have to abstract out into the future. Like, what I'm doing is for like a good cause. Because I did intel in the beginning where I'm like updating stupid like books where it's like, oh, we've moved this SAM battery from here to here, and we're another this, and it's going to go in this book for some guy to look up in the future, and you're just like, God, this sucks. Like, you have to abstract the victory out so far that to keep yourself motivated. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I started doing, like, you know, tactical enabling intelligence operations, it was like, here's our JPL list, like our joint prioritized effects list of all the people we want to kill while we're on this deployment. Here they all are. Start gathering intel, and then dudes would start dying. And that was awesome. I also struggle with parts of that, which would be another whole nother podcast, especially on the stuff that we did while I was in Iraq. But because there's really like a weird part of yourself that comes out whenever you're like, want to kill bad guys, and then you're watching it happen. Or like, for me, a lot of times I'd be on the fire's net or in like the air around an objective, and I'm watching dudes just take like how like taking rounds. Mm-hmm. Or like a gunship is just, you know, there's this weird part of you that's like cheering, and then you abstract yourself away from that and you're like, that's fucking dark. You're like cheering on dudes being turned to mist on IR.
But if they've deserved it, I mean, unless you're saying they did.
But we were also in that country, right, for all the wrong reasons, right?
That's true.
Yeah, yeah, we killed a bunch of petty criminals.
Yeah, they were bad guys, no question. I'm not sitting here saying I'm on a moral high horse and that everything I do is perfect and right and justified. All I'm saying is I have a very addictive personality, and I, for instance, just to go off on another tangent, my father-in-law told me when I was young, you'll never be a good golfer. I wasn't playing rugby at the time. I was much bigger. He's like, you're way too much of a turtle to be good at golf. I fucking worked on golf every day until I was like a 3 handicap, 4 handicap, and then beat his ass. And then I was done with golf. And that's how I am on any subject. Like, someone will say something to me and I'll be like, that's interesting. And I'll write that down. Mm-hmm. And it'll send me on a rabbit trail that I can't get off of. And so when I think about these things in the military, like what was ethical, what that was right, where was it wrong? And I kind of do my own post hoc on all of that stuff. Some of it's like, you know, pretty dark places you can bring yourself where you're thinking about, you know, the moral implications of what you did. But so for me, it was the first thing that you just talked about. What was I thinking about when I get out? But then the second thing was, I'm never going to experience this amount of gratification or satisfaction from my work like I do here in the military. That really worried me. I had been thinking about Spartan Forge. What I called it when I first conceptualized it in like 2012, I was calling it open season technology is what I called it. And when I was thinking about it, I was like, this is now a place where if I build cool shit for people, I can help a father and a son connect while they're hunting. I can help someone put food on the table. I can help teach someone how to use a compass through the app. And it's actually good. And it's helping a really positive thing, which is getting people outside, engaging with the wild, going out, getting their own food, and doing their own kind of like targeting cycle on an animal. I understand it sounds douchey to make it sound that technical, but like enabling that, someone going out and putting meat on the table, it's really gratifying. Like when I was a young guy and I just had my oldest daughter and I'd go off and kill a doe and then bring it home and dress it out and get the loins out. And then we're having supper on the table, and this is my meat that I killed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really gratifying feeling.
It is.
So pushing that forward, or getting my son to come hunting with me and having like father-son hunting stuff, that I was like, well, actually, that's a space where I can get into and kind of feel that same gratification. But I do know now it's benevolent. Like, no matter what, this is good. So I got really motivated to do that. I said it last night to a guy, my buddy Tyler, who owns Archery Country. We're having a block party there tonight, actually. I said, like, I get stressed about the job, and I work as much as I can, and I'm always thinking about it and always doing it. But I'm, like, now burdened with this glorious purpose that I used to once pray for to find. And that's just, like, an awesome feeling, and it's not something that I take for granted, and that I work my ass off to keep. And like I told earlier today with Dan, I said, the fear of having to go back to the government hat in hand, or having to go to the contracting world or doing something like that, motivates me as much as wanting to create something for a father and son to bond over, or getting meat on the table. It motivates me just as much. Like, hey, if you don't get as much in as you can right now and work as hard as you can right now, you might be back freaking, you know, in Syria doing some bullshit that you know you don't want to do and wondering why you're there.
Well, tell everybody in the audience about Spartan Forge and what it is you guys do there.
Long story short, Spartan Forge is, right now, if you were to look at it, you'd just say it's a mapping tool, but there's some more general AI that's in there, like a large language model that we were fooling with earlier that can help teach you how to learn how to hunt. Like, it'll teach you how to dress an animal. It will teach you about how to make a homemade compass. It will teach you prepping stuff. It'll teach you how to build a firearm. It'll teach you how to scout for deer, all of those things. But then it kind of focuses it around a map so people can learn how to use digital scouting to kind of optimize their time so they can get out there. And, you know, people have less time and money more now than ever. And so one of my things was, how do I make them as successful as possible? Because being reliably successful in hunting, especially like I used to hunt with a primitive bow, like a bow I'd made myself. Now I use a compound. Being reliably successful in that context is extremely difficult. So if I can make an app that kind of helps centralize all of that knowledge that you need in order to be successful beyond just mapping, which is what most of my competitors do, there's a lot more there, and it's just all in one place, and it's cheaper by half than most of our competitors. So to me, that's a victory.
The merch is cool. I got the Spartan Forge shirt here. I like the Waffle House design.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of this. The material's great, by the way.
Yeah, I love our shirts. They're awesome. I love them.
What's one cool story or the coolest story that's come out of Spartan Forge where you went home at night and you were like, holy shit, man, I can't believe I got to affect so-and-so's life or change somebody's life and help them go in a different direction?
There's like some... Well, there's a lot of these stories, but my favorite is, and it's kind of, there's many of these, so I can't just tell one, but it would be, you know, my son and I have been targeting this big buck on this piece of land. We've been hunting him for like 3 or 4 years. We kill plenty of does and all of that stuff, but we've been trying to do this. And, you know, we just heard you on a podcast. We liked what you were doing. We used the app. We listened to it. And, you know, we saw this buck for the first time and shot it. And I get a picture of a father and son together, you know, smiles ear to ear. Kid's never going to forget it.
Yeah.
And I got to play the smallest role in that, to me, is awesome. My highest value, and I talked about this earlier today, was individual autonomy. Like people being able to do this on their own, learn from the app, and then hopefully in 3 years they don't need it. Or if they are using it, it's just to navigate through the woods and not get lost in the dark. And learning all of these things through our Cyber Scout, which is that large language model I talked about, or through the mapping or through the journaling or the weather analysis and all of that stuff. It's just getting people outside and disconnecting from the culture that we're creating right now, which is kind of shitty, and get into the quiet woods and experience. I think it's magical, you know, get in there really close with like a primitive bow with an arrow that you built at like 15 yards from an animal that is living and dying by his ability to be stealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get it done. Like that's the only thing for me that creates anything close to watching like an operation go down that you've been pivotal in building the intelligence framework for. And then that, not only the bad guy that you said was going to be there, he was there and now he's dead and people are safe. This dude killed 50 Marines 3 weeks ago with a IED. or a series of IEDs like Daisy Chain, and now we put together an intelligence picture, and that dude's dead now. Mm-hmm. Hunting is the only thing that gets anywhere near that. And if you haven't, if someone hasn't experienced, I encourage them to go out there and do it. But you just, the world melts away. You're in that moment. It's just you and the animal, and you're really killing it because you respect it, and you want, and you want the food, the sustenance, and the experience, and you do it, and like the adrenaline drop, and it's just a perfect situation. For I think it's that way for us because it's so deeply ingrained in our evolution. Because it had to be there, you know, the guys that were chasing the mastodon or whatever had to get that feeling whenever they took the mastodon down, so they'd want to do it again.
I like the band Mastodon.
Yeah. And then...
Tyranny of Metal, it's a good band.
Yeah, I like metal. Because we'll share these DMs back and forth, too. Like, I think the one that Dan was most excited about over the years was... there were some two brothers who hadn't spoke to each other in a while. One was 28, one was 35. And they said, hey, we were listening to the show. You know, we listen every single day. And I actually listened to Dan's advice about using a spotter in the room. He was going to strangle bait to death, and you saved his life. And when I held him in my arms and I got him, and he, you know, he ejaculated all over me. There was no better feeling in the world than knowing I saved his life and that he could do this again someday, and he was using a spotter. So we get the same thing here. It's just in a different form.
Yeah, the Prophet Muhammad said...
That is not a joke.
The Prophet Muhammad said, correct, if the things you wish for yourself, you don't wish for your brother, then you can never be a true believer, right?
And if you're holding your older brother with ejaculation all over him and you, and then obviously he's choked up, literally, and he's got tears coming down his face.
Literally,
from almost strangle baiting to death, and his brother saved him because he listened to the show and said, Dan said, you have to use a spotter if you're going to strangle bait. Don't go in alone.
Isn't that what happened to Kung Fu, The Legend Continues?
Yes.
It sure is.
Yeah, he dressed up like a geisha and strangle baited himself to death.
He was dressed like a geisha?
Sure was.
Yeah, dude.
Is that real? That's the thing that happened in the world?
We got pictures of it.
I didn't know he was dressed like
Bob
a geisha.
Pull that up.
He's got makeup on, everything, dude. White geisha makeup, all of it.
Which begs the question, like, who was that for? Is that, if it's just autogynephilia, which is when men like to dress up like women for sexual pleasure, still, you're in an environment. If you're going geisha style, there, like, just find another geisha.
I agree.
Like a mentor geisha.
Yep.
A real one.
But again, he didn't listen to you guys, and he didn't have a spotter.
Well, he wasn't listening to the show, but also the show wasn't airing at that time. Bob, it was on the cover, actually, of their newspaper, and I'm not kidding. So they used the photo of him hanging in the closet on the front of their newspaper. That's how I saw it, because he was all slumped over.
It might be that one that's blurred out. If I was going to guess, that's where I would stop.
No, it's not that one. Damn it.
Oh, man.
That's worse.
Yeah. That appears to be after the autopsy.
Yeah. That's,
oh, man.
That is the autopsy there, but you can still see the rope around his neck.
It's a generous red bar they gave him.
Yeah, well,
He's dead, but...
Being a dead person?
Sure. You can make it as big as or as small.
But do you see the rope around his neck in that autopsy photo?
But you can't make it as small.
Look at that. So there he is.
Well, provided it covers everything, right? So you can make it as small as possible while still covering everything, and you're not doing anybody any favors by doing
it. But why do they, Bob, pop that picture up one more time. Why do they leave the rope around his neck for the autopsy photo?
Oh, it was in his will.
In case they forgot.
They don't want to lose it.
Oh,
I don't
man.
Think it is around his neck. I think it's just on his chest.
Right. So at that point, because you can see on his neck where he was all roped off, right?
Yeah.
And that's clearly the
ligature marks.
Why leave it there?
It's in his hands the way sometimes you see at a like a wake, like a rosary in your grandma's hand.
Exactly.
Maybe
yeah.
It was part of his religion.
It could be.
They found a manifesto left behind. Like, hey, strangle baiting to death is how we reach the next stage in our evolution.
That is rough.
The only photo that's comparable, and I can actually say that word right now, is, no, that's a different word, compartmentalized, is comparable to this, is when Jordan was laying on the floor after his father died and he won the championship, and he was still holding the ball. Game was over. He didn't need to be holding the ball. I think that's the same way with Carradine, where he was holding the rope afterwards of like, hey, if I die during this, put the rope in my hands.
Yeah. It's also kind of like that kid from There's Something About Mary, the retard with his baseball.
Frankenbeans.
Yeah.
Frankenbeans.
So.
Yeah.
Intense.
Yeah. Now's the point in the show we get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to? Don't give it to Carradine. Let that moment live with you for a little bit. Pick somebody else.
Somebody who's inspired me that everyone would know?
No. It's just your own person. It's your own personal Jesus.
Oh, doesn't even have to be a real person.
You hit me right. Like, I got to think about that for a second.
Why? We've been on the air for 9 years. This is our ninth year on the air. There's no way you're just hearing this for the first time.
No, it's not. I just didn't think. I just, in this situation, I didn't think it would happen to me or that we were just going to be like, well, this was fun. Okay, I'll say it. I'm going to sound like a nerd, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't care. Thomas Sowell, The Economist.
Mm. Okay.
I freaking love that guy. Everything he says, I think, is perfect. And I don't know why we couldn't convince him or control him to become like a president so he could dissemble the American government and put it to the size that the founders wanted. Actually, whenever I'm like needing to like center myself, as stupid as this sounds, actually, I went to school and did economics while I was in school, so this shouldn't be a surprise. I like listening to old Thomas Sowell videos.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
He's like a black libertarian.
He's black?
Oh, yep. Yeah, big time.
He's awesome. I mean, he's just... Kind of, if you've never listened to him, you should listen to him.
Kind of from the Austrian school of economics. So, like, super, like, bordering on a narco-capitalist, but not a moron about it.
But he's super well-spoken, mm-hmm. super, like, well-educated. And, yeah, I really, like, it's so, my wife's laughing. If she's listening to this, which she will, she's laughing right now. Because, like, if we're going on, like, a long road trip, like I went to North Carolina last weekend, mm-hmm. it's going to be, like, Thomas Sowell, Victor Davis Hanson.
Murray Rothbard.
Boy, yep. That's love right there.
Yeah.
Is she into it?
Yeah. She's, I mean, my wife's the coolest. She's as good as women get. I mean, I'm dead serious. Like, my friends all like my wife more than they like me. Like, when they meet
same
her,
same thing with me.
They're like, oh, she's way cooler than you do.
100%. Yeah. Same with me.
So, yeah, for me, it'd be Thomas Sowell.
That's awesome. Yeah. I can't get my wife into that bullshit, but, you know,
we've
all got our thing. Hers is true crime. Obviously, mine is sports. So we'll kind of flip-flop.
Yeah, my wife's
in
is
between.
True crime. She loves that as well. Yeah. Like, actually, she works for a guy. If you ever watch, like, Forensic Files?
Oh, all the time, because Jesse will be doing research for different stories.
So the guy who does, like, all the digital evidence face stuff, mm-hmm. it's, like, a really nerdy dude. You'd recognize him. She works with him.
Really?
Yeah, she works with him, like, daily, and I always watch the Forensic Files, and he's... You know, we've got access to him. I talked to him at my daughter's play a couple weeks ago.
No shit.
He's a badass, too.
My wife would love to have him on the show. She hosts a show called Crime Corner.
And, I could get him on the show for you guys.
The crimes.
Bring your wife, and I'll get this guy on. Fascinating.
Where are you guys based out of?
We're in Virginia.
Okay.
South of D.C.
Oh, that's right, because...
Stafford. She's at Quantico.
Yeah, okay.
But, I mean, super fascinating guy, super smart guy. But he's been, like, the OG of digital forensics and video and face analysis for the past like 25 years, and you'll recognize him when you see him because he's always on Forensic Files with that creepy dude's voice.
How high up is your wife, by the way?
She's one step below executive.
Great. So our seltzer, we're having a hard time getting into military bases. It's got to go through Quantico. No. Why? Lie. I don't know.
She's not going to have any input on that.
She can walk in there and someone. Kick open the door and say, hey, motherfucker, put it in the goddamn stores, dude.
But through all your guys' connections, you don't have someone that can get this
thing? No, it's just a pain in the ass.
It's a pain in the ass. They said come back in June.
Like APHIS. You're talking APHIS.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
I mean, it's like, imagine going to try to do a deal with the DMV. That's essentially what it is, right?
Yeah, but every,
they're incompetent, like, government drones.
Every, like, half-baked military guy who came up with an idea for a workout band, you can't walk 10 steps in APHIS without getting hit in the face with
it just takes,
stupid thing.
Well, for booze, it's different, and it's kind of a process to do it all. We're just going through the process, which is a pain in the dick.
Well, it is delicious.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it sucks. I wish I had that person's name, because everybody keeps hitting them up on Twitter, and they're like, put Hard AF Seltzer in the basis, and they're like, oh, you know, we got to go through the process and everything else. It's like, motherfucker, we've already been through the process. But it's the government as a whole, man. It's just, it sucks. Even writing Matt's book, that was 18 months at the DOD. 18 fucking months it sat there.
Well, that's better. Christian Craighead just got denied by the UK government.
Yeah, talk about a guy who's been roughshod. That poor dude.
Holy shit.
Like,
so what did they say?
I don't know what exactly they said, but they denied the release of the book.
I embarrassed myself in front of Christian Craighead.
Did you shit your
pants?
What'd
you do? Yeah, did you shit your
pants? Because I always dipe up.
He
I dipe up.
He's diped up now.
I'm diped up all the time.
I was drunk, and I was, I shouldn't, I, how do I say this? I had been drinking, and I was at a party where there were a lot of people, pretty important people would say anyway, and he was there. And I saw him, and I'm like, holy shit, that's Christian Craighead. Like, fucking, that's Obi-Wan or Obi. that's fucking badass.
Yeah.
And I was waiting, like everyone was like switching places, like talking to each other and shit. Like Vivek Ramaswamy was there.
Oh shit.
Yeah. And I didn't even know he was going to be there. I'm like, holy shit, it's Vivek Ramaswamy. Like, I want to watch this guy just take apart the government. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. He's going to be in the show soon.
Is he really?
Yeah.
So he was there.
Camp for a while.
And some other really notable, cool people that I like, you know, and I didn't expect to be there. I just got invited by a friend of a friend and showed up. And anyway, Christian Craighead showed up and I was drunk. And I was like, I said something. My buddy said something. He's like, or he walked up and I was like, hey, man. And I introduced myself and he's like, dude, ain't nobody ever fucking Buffalo Billed like you Buffalo Billed on that day. And he's like, what? And my buddy's like, dude, he's from Britain. Oh, Buffalo Bill. He was like a really badass dude. And I was just trying to tell you that you really kicked ass. And yeah.
Wait, is there a famous English cop from lore?
I don't know. Who would know?
Like, was Sherlock Holmes?
They used to run the world and they haven't been relevant Sherlock in 100 years.
Sherlock Holmes isn't doing kinetic raids against Nigerian terrorists.
We don't know that.
Or wherever the fuck it was.
We can't prove that, guys. We can't
so
prove
he
that.
Was really nice. Well,
wasn't a real guy.
Yeah.
Sure right? wasn't.
You should ask. Is Christian going to be on the show at some point?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I just like to know if he remembers, you know, me embarrassing myself.
I'll ask him.
Because he had no fucking clue.
Now we're going to have to. We'll reach out to our publicist.
And he was, I have contact with him too. But
oh yeah, he's easy to get on the show. We just have it.
You should.
Our timelines haven't matched up.
He's freaking awesome.
I was waiting for his book to come out, but I guess now there's no point in waiting on that.
That's so much bullshit.
Holy shit, dude. That's wild.
But I totally embarrassed myself because everyone's like, dude, he doesn't know the fuck Buffalo Bill is. And I'm like, I don't care. That seemed like the appropriate thing to say. Like,
well, you're a white American. We're the only people in the world who will go to somebody else's country, look around, and say there are a lot of fucking foreigners here.
Yeah,
just but, it's how we're bred, man.
I jacked that up, and he just looked at me like I had a phallus growing from my forehead, and I was like, all right, well, anyway, man, have a good one. That was fun. Thanks for coming
see you
out.
Later.
You lose your advance and all that shit too. Like financially, that's going to cost him a lot.
Dude, I feel sorry for that guy. Like, I actually reached out to some buddies of mine, and I was like, dude, if he ever needs someone to sponsor him, Spartan Forge, I don't care if people don't know who the fuck he is. I'll put him on. I'll get him fucking money to talk about my product because he's been getting shit on by everybody. I ordered like 10 of his books and started giving them away to people just because it's like, you can't think of a more genuine, down-to-earth, good dude who went out there and kicked fucking ass, like in a real meaningful way. And then his country's just like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's rough.
Very bizarre.
That's the way I feel about Carradine hanging in that closet.
But why are they doing that to him? Like, you'd think the English would be like, hey, we've got a reputation for being pussies. Mm. We should probably elevate this guy who is the Ubermensch and, you know, put him out there in the world and make sure he's got his accent on full tilt while he's talking about things.
No idea, man. We say that all the time here of, like, you need more heroes in the world.
Yeah, we do.
So why not? Just fucking have cool guys be cool guys.
The real ones.
Yes. And have people to look up to. So that way, maybe it'll inspire somebody to go out and do something fucking cool. The more and more you bury these stories, the less and less people want to get involved in shit where they're like, great, well, who am I looking up to?
Right.
You know, Lauren Boebert, somebody on TikTok.
If there's anyone worth looking up to, it's Christian Craighead.
Well, Lauren Boebert too, but for a different reason. Jackie Offen.
I think you mostly look down
Colorado
at her.
Representative, right?
Jackie Offen in a theater. She got
isn't
huge
she pretty cute?
Titties. Yeah.
But she got in trouble for
jacking off a dude.
Jacking off a dude in a theater.
I mean, it was over the pants. Does that even count?
Well, you got to start somewhere, right?
Like when I was dabbling in Catholicism for a while, I wouldn't confess to that unless there was skin to skin contact with
did
the
you do confession?
No, I've never. I was just making that up.
She, I think she got a hand in there. She went zipper down and then just kind of pulled it, yanked it out of there and was getting ready.
They're in a movie, right?
They were in a play.
What was the play, though? Beetlejuice?
It was a very Bob.
It was Beetlejuice.
It was Beetlejuice the musical.
How many Tonys did that win?
I don't think any. Uh-huh. And by the way, I can tell you from experience, the priest wants to know about that.
Yeah, for sure.
I know he wants to know about it, but he was the other guy involved in my made-up story. So
my wife's a Catholic, and I'm not, and it's a bone of contention for us.
You should make, her confess to you.
Exactly.
I'll be your father figure.
Yeah, exactly.
Put your tiny hand in my...
Just make her call you daddy, though. It's like... that. Jared wanted to do a sketch like that with Jack Mandeville, where Jared kept confessing to Jack, but he kept calling him dad. Oh, daddy, I've been bad. Yeah. And shit like that. It just never materialized. I don't know why.
And don't think that I didn't catch that George Michael.
I know you did.
Wait, yeah. Which one? What was it?
He drops some George Michael lyrics. Mm.
I will be another your one. Father figure, yeah. Put your tiny hand in mine.
Another one that confused me, because when I was a kid, I was like, man, it'd be so cool to be that guy.
Same. I was like, super straight, man. Look at him.
What does that say about me?
Beating up pussy every night, dude. I thought that is a fucking
but also, like, well, he's now, when I was like 16, I thought about that song, and I was like, wait.
Yeah.
He was thinking about dudes' buttholes.
He was just banging out
when
dudes.
He was...
Yep.
Well, you don't. You know who you don't tell you want to be their father figure is a 30-year-old man, right? If you're in your mid-30s and you're singing that song, which is sure. what he was doing, you're yeah. clearly talking to a younger man.
Younger man. He was dating right. dudes that were right there on that Mendoza line on the yeah. fucking 18, 19.
But now I giggle when I hear that song. So I'm like, this isn't about Cindy Crawford at all.
He pulled a power move, though. When he got caught... You remember he was getting a blowjob in a bathroom, and he got arrested for it.
In a park in L.A., right?
Yeah, no. Well, that was later. There was a lot of them down the road. The first one was in a bathroom. So
No, he was in a bathroom in a park in L.A., I think. I'm pretty sure. Public bathroom.
I forget which bathroom it was, but immediately, the next music video he does, where he's a gay cop getting sucked off in a fucking bathroom, dude.
Went hard.
And he had the... Oh, yeah. He was wearing dangle shorts.
Hard to paint.
Oh, yeah, from Reno 911. Like, he was super gay, and I was like, way to go. Way to dominate. Yeah, way to dominate. Yeah. Tell everybody where they can find Spartan Forge.
SpartanForge.ai is the website. You can. I do all the social media, responding to messages. If you like the app, if you hate the app, if you want to see other things. I spend almost like 2-3 hours a day just responding to people. We want to build this product for the hunters, for people. I think that's one thing my competition at least is all really corporate and kind of abstracted away from the user. They don't know who runs these companies or what they believe in or what they're doing. We're kind of trying to go the opposite way with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, reach out to me there and, give us give us a look, tell us what you like, what you don't. And, I'm happy to talk to anybody.
That's awesome, man. We're happy to have you here today. You're a cool motherfucker, dude.
No, you are.
Well, that's true, but I will question your friends here. Danica, why is she here today? Why did you bring her?
Because she's the woman.
She's not. She's a woman. She's not the woman.
She's one of the women. Mm. She keeps me in line.
The weighted ball, dude. The weighted ball, Danica. Don't think I'll forget. Danica, girl, fucking with this hoe's man. Get her out of here after this, all right? Yeah, get her the fuck out of here. No, Joel, I think Joel was asked to sniff her shoes or something. She can stay for 10 until he gets off. But after that, get her the fuck out of here, okay?
Oh, man.
Just get her the fuck out of here.
Intense.
go to iTunes, rate the show 5-star, and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. It's just a 5-star, and you can walk away if you stayed through it at this point. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.